I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. It's going to be our taking off point this morning, John chapter 6. And it's here in John chapter 6 that I want to look at some biblical drama that began when Jesus miraculously fed 5,000 men plus thousands of women and children.
Amen.
See, things after that got a little heady. Since the people decided that they wanted to make Jesus their king. In John chapter 6, if you look at verse number 14, the scripture says, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely, this is the prophet who was come unto the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Now, the disciples may have thought they arrived too. Because if Jesus became the king of Israel, they would be on easy street themselves. But if those 12 apostles had an illusion like that, it didn't last long. Not only did Jesus reject the people's superficial adulations, their superficial praise and flattery, but look at verse number 16. It says, when evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. But now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. He put the disciples into a boat that sent them out into the Sea of Galilee and head on into one of the scariest trials they would ever face. You say, well, that was Jesus and the disciples. See, he had to teach them some special lessons because they were going to be his apostles and founders of the church. But I'm sorry to burst your bubbles, but that was not the case. The apostles definitely had some things they needed to learn, but we need to learn the same lessons. And one way God has chosen to teach us and to strengthen our faith is through trials. So the title of our message today is Christ's Authority Over Trials. So I want to give us a definition of a trial. A trial is an adverse circumstance that God either allows or brings into the lives of his children in order to deepen our faith and commitment to him.
Amen.
Let me say it again. A trial is an adverse circumstance that God either allows or brings into the life of his children in order to deepen our faith and commitment to him.
One more time.
A trial is an adverse circumstance that God either allows or brings into the lives of his children in order to deepen our faith and commitment to him. Amen?
Amen.
Trials are designed to make us grow, even though we may groan in the process. Trials can come from many number of sources. Some of the things we experience are results of living in a sinful world that's all messed up. A thief may rob your home. Or a war overseas may take a family member because we all suffer the effects of this world's evil. Then at other times we suffer because of our sins. A bad choice.
Yes.
Yielding to a temptation can lead to the results that's difficult to bear. But even our sins and their consequences, watch this now, they can become God-ordained trials that he uses to grow us, watch this, if we will repent and learn from them.
Amen.
God may also send a specific trial because he wants you to learn a specific lesson.
Amen.
And of course, trials can come about because we are under attack from the evil one, the devil. Whatever the source of trials, of our trials, you and I need to understand that everything that happens to us is under the sovereign control of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And saints, once you get this down, once you get this down, you can face any trial. Come on, say amen to that.
Amen.
Once you get this down, you can face any trial. See, Christ, he even controls the arrival of the trials.
Amen.
Now, the situation that we're going to consider is best described back over in Matthew chapter 14. So if you turn over to Matthew chapter 14, let me know when you get there.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 14.
Amen.
And I'm going to start reading at verse 22. Are you there?
Amen.
Amen. The scripture says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up to a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, somebody say shortly.
Shortly.
Before dawn. I'm talking about 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
When it's dark. I'm the fourth watch.
Amen.
It's dark.
Amen.
Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. Watch this. But Jesus immediately spoke to them. He said, take courage. It is I. Underline that. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Verse 29, Jesus said, come.
Well, come on now.
Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me.
Amen.
Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when he had climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Is that good? I mean, so I want you to just notice here that the whole trip was Jesus' idea.
Amen.
He controlled the arrival of it.
Yeah.
The whole trip. He controlled the creation of this trial. It was at his authoritative word that the disciples set out on the sea. I mean, you have to recall earlier in this chapter, he had just fed a hungry crowd late in the day. So by the time this storm hit, it was dark.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In Mark chapter 6, verse 48, it says that the winds was so strong that the disciples, they were straining at the oars. In other words, the harder they rowed, the more the wind pushed them back. Tell me you ain't been there before.
Amen.
Tell me you ain't been there before. The harder you try.
Amen.
But I want you to know today that even the most severe circumstances are subject to the authority of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That's
The Bible says Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. Right? And the implication here is that they didn't want to go. I mean, after all, the people wanted to make Jesus their king. Now, I can just hear the 12 disciples. They're saying, Jesus, we've been here with you for a couple of years now, telling these people that you are the king of the Jews, and now that they finally got the picture, this ain't the time to leave. Mm-hmm. But see, Jesus knew better. Mm-hmm. He knew better. You hear me, sissy? Jesus knew better. See, he knew that these were going to be the same people screaming, crucify him.
Yeah.
Mm. He knew better.
Yes.
So he sent the disciples away straight into a storm.
Yes.
And you can be assured that there was a lesson waiting for them in the middle of the sea. See, what trials do is help further God's purpose for your life.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm.
That's good.
Amen.
After the disciples had left, Jesus sent the crowd away and he went up to a mountain to pray. Now, that seemed to complicate things for the disciples since Jesus was not there with them when the storm had engulfed them. Anybody ever feel like that?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You're in a storm and Jesus is nowhere to be found?
Mm. Amen.
Amen.
But I want you to know that that's not true for you and I as a believer.
That's right.
Right? Because even when there's more water in the boat than there is in the sea, Jesus is firmly in control.
Amen.
This storm on the Sea of Galilee also proves this, that obedience to God does not necessarily not necessarily remove obstacles.
Mm. Amen.
You're being obedient to God don't mean that you ain't going to have nothing jumping up in your way.
That's good.
See, because the disciples, they obeyed Jesus, right?
Yep.
And it still rained on them. Jesus wants to take us to the next level of spiritual experience. And that often means that we got to go through some trials. Mm. See, trials are God's tests. Now, you remember when you was in school and you had to take some tests in school. They weren't all fun. Right? Not for me anyway. They weren't all fun. But if you... But it... It sure felt great when you took the test and it was over and you found out that you passed the test.
That's right?
Right? Yeah. I know when I got a D on my test, I was like, yeah! They're like, what are you screaming for? I got a D! It's passing.
Amen.
Amen.
Apostle James said in James chapter 1, he says, count it all joy as you're going through various trials.
Yes.
Right? Count it all joy. Now, do we count the trial itself as joy? No. The joy comes in knowing that God is doing something good through our trials.
Yes.
Am I right about it?
Yeah.
See, at times when God tests us, he does so to see if we learn the material. To see whether the amens we set out of our mouth on today will be transferred to our feet the rest of the week.
Come on now.
You know what I'm talking about, Mona, right?
Amen.
Now, what happens when you fail the test? You got to take it over again.
Amen.
Right? And if you fail enough times, you have to repeat the whole course. And the unfortunate thing is many believers today keep failing the same course over and over and over again.
Mm.
So the ideal in trials is to pass the test the first time.
Mm.
To learn what God is trying to teach you. Because listen, the next level of spiritual growth, there will be more tests.
Yes.
Right? And there will be a different character. Because you're being tested at a higher level of maturity.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So, God, He will encourage us in our trials. Mm. Now, the disciples were fighting this fierce storm, and it's now early in the morning hours, and they were badly in need of Jesus' reassuring presence. Look at verse 25. Same chapter, Matthew chapter 14. It says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. So it was very dark. Mm-hmm. And the disciples had been out there by themselves for a number of hours. Mm-hmm. Look at verse 26. It says, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus said to them, take courage.
Yes.
It is I. Do not be afraid. See, this kind of knowledge was no problem for Jesus because Jesus is God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Am I right about it? In the same way, Jesus had no problem walking straight to their boat in the darkness. See, because God knows how to find you even in the dark.
Amen.
No matter where you go, you can't. There's no place that you can go where God can't find you.
Yeah.
But watch this. Jesus can calm you.
Come on, then.
Jesus showed up just when the disciples needed him the most. But at first, they were anything but comforted or encouraged. See, the Greek text says that they stared intently into the darkness when they saw this ghost-like figure coming toward them. And the Greek word for ghost here in this chapter is the word phantom. And the disciples thought that what they were seeing was a figment of their imagination. But all 12 of them saw it. So they figured they had a serious problem on their hands. So listen, Jesus may not come when the disciples wanted him to come.
Mm-hmm.
And he may not come when you want him to come.
Yeah.
But he came on time.
Amen.
God always shows up just in the nick of time. See, Jesus knew his disciples' predicament, even though they were several miles out in the sea, engulfed in darkness, while he was on a mountain somewhere praying. But Jesus didn't let the disciples panic for long, because he spoke to them. Verse 27, he says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And Jesus was using that Greek form of God's great statement of his deity that he gave to Moses back in Exodus chapter 3. When he told Moses, he said, I am who I am.
Yes.
Jesus was answering their fear with this declaration of his very deity. Mm. He said, it's I.
Yes.
It's I. Don't be afraid. I am who I am. That's who's coming to help you.
Yes.
And please note that the first thing Jesus did was he calmed the disciples on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
You should take comfort in that.
Yes.
Not calm their circumstances outside.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
He didn't even deal with the storm.
Mm.
Until Peter tried walking on water.
Mm-hmm.
And once Jesus calms you by his comforting and authoritative presence, it really doesn't matter if it's still raining or blowing hot outside.
That's right. That's right.
Once he calms you.
That's right. Thank
Jesus you. Said, Jesus walked on water to demonstrate his power.
Yeah.
He walked on water to demonstrate his protection.
Yeah.
And to show the disciples that there is no trial, saints, that he could not penetrate.
That's right. Amen.
In other words, he walked on the problem to let them know that he was bigger than the problem.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
So listen, when Jesus comes to you in your trial. He can walk on your mess because he's the authoritative one. See, we have to get to the place like the disciples did. They recognized Jesus' voice because Peter said, verse 28, Lord, if it's you, Peter said, tell me to come to you on the water. Now, the Greek translated the word if here means since. Right?
Yeah.
It's an expression of fact and not doubt. So Peter, in essence, is saying, Lord, since it's you, I know it's you, Lord. I bid me to come to you on water. And Peter, he was ready to step out of the boat and trust himself to Jesus. And this is something that no one else was willing to do. See, Peter was the leader of the disciples, right? And this is why. See, you got leaders. If you're going to be a leader, you got to be willing to do something that nobody else don't want to do.
Amen.
You got to be willing to say something nobody else ain't willing to say.
Amen.
It's easy to say it out there, but it's harder to say it from up here to those that are sitting out there. For some. But if you're operating under the authority of Jesus Christ, in the famous words of my mentor, I don't care what you're thinking about what I'm about to tell you, because I'm speaking to you under the authoritative word of God.
Amen.
Be not afraid, he says.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So Jesus said, come. In one word, Peter hopped off the boat. One word, Ellie.
Yeah.
He hopped off the boat. He was ready to cast himself on Jesus' authority. And that's why Peter was the leader of the 12 disciples. Even when he was making mistakes and saying the wrong things, Peter was, his desire was always to be close to Jesus.
Yes.
Here Peter was willing to take a risk to get to Jesus.
Yeah.
See, and some of us are not willing to take a risk to get to Jesus. You know the lady with the issue of blood?
Yes. Yes.
She was willing to take a risk.
Yes.
She knew she was unclean. But she heard about Jesus.
Yes.
And she said, I got to get to him.
Yes.
I'm going to take a risk.
Yes.
So she pressed through somebody. You got to hear what I'm trying to tell you today.
Yes.
She pressed through the crowd to get to Jesus to get her healing.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
It took a lot of faith for Peter to step out into that raging sea. But when you're trusting Jesus and taking him at his word, you can experience the power and authority to do what he does, which is to walk on top of your trials.
That's good.
I mean, talking about encouragement. Peter figured out that it was better to be in the storm with Jesus.
Come on now.
Than to be on the boat without him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank
you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Jesus wants you to know today that he loves you in your trial. Are you getting this?
Amen.
So Peter's walking on water towards Jesus. But then he hit a problem. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind.
Yes. Mercy.
He was afraid.
Mercy.
Beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Peter started out great. Trusting in Jesus and his authority over the water. But then Peter did something that we all do at times. Watch this. He took his eyes off of Jesus.
Amen.
Am I right?
Yeah.
He took his eyes off of Jesus and he started looking around. And when he looked around, this trial swallowed him up. Mm-hmm. It says that he began to sink. Mm-hmm. See, and some of us are sinking because we've taken our eyes off of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I want you to see that circumstances, Peter's circumstances didn't change. The sea was still raging. Mm. Just as it had been when he was in the boat. The difference was in Peter.
Mm. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
He began letting the trial control him.
Mm.
And he started going down. Mm. When you let your trials and circumstances and situations of life control you, guess what happens? You start going down. You remember the story of Jonah? God called him to do something. He ran the other way. And as soon as he got in the boat, the first thing it says after that, he says what? He went down to the bottom.
Yeah.
That was his first problem. Uh-huh. He started going down.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter knew where to turn. His focus got shifted back on Jesus in a hurry when he cried out. He said, "Lord, save me." Now, this wasn't one of those long, 3-hour prayers and speaking in tongues and all that. He said, "Lord, save me."
I need you now.
Three words.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? Am I right, Gerald? He said, "Lord, save me."
Yes. Amen.
And when Peter turned to Jesus, Jesus reached out and lifted him up.
Mm.
That's powerful right there.
Yes.
Three words.
Mm.
Peter got back in position. Don't miss that. He got back in position that he should have been all along. See, a lot of times we take ourselves out of position, the position that we're supposed to be in all along.
Yeah.
Which was walking on top of his trial.
Yes.
And not under it.
Yes.
The good part is that Jesus loved Peter so much that he wouldn't let him sink. Look what he said in verse 31. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him.
Mm.
"You of little faith," he said.
Mm.
"Why did you doubt?" Mm. In other words, Peter, you know how much I love you.
Mm.
He said, "Tina, you know how much I love you.
Mm.
Why would you think that I will let you sink?"
Mm.
Imagine that. I love you too much to let you sink. I love you too much, Ellie, to watch you go down.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my hand.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Peter chapter 1, the scripture tells us that he told his scattered and persecuted readers that they were protected by the power of God, even though they were suffering temporarily under hard trials.
Yes. That's right.
See, once you begun to sink under a trial, and Jesus has reached down to you in love, you're never the same again.
Yes.
I want you to know that Christ, he's sovereign in our trials. Jesus rescued Peter, and the two of them walked back to the boat. Look at verse 32. "And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down." "Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Everything was fine once Jesus got into the boat.
Mm.
Now, this raises several questions to me. And one is, why didn't Jesus leave with the disciples in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, none of this wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm. Come on now. Break it down.
Or why didn't he come a lot earlier? He knew they were in trouble. Or why did Jesus let the disciples twist and turn in the wind for hours?
Mm.
Well, the only answer that I can come up with is that Jesus came when he was ready.
Amen.
It was his prerogative all the way. He knew exactly how long to allow this trial to last.
Yes.
That's good.
When it's time to end your trial,
yes,
Jesus will come walking to you on water.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if the disciples cussed and fussed, you know, during those hours of rowing. I don't know if they kept asking each other, where in the world is Jesus and why don't he do something? But I know this. If they cussed and fussed and it didn't hurry Jesus one bit, guess what? You're cussing and fussing.
Hey, man.
Won't hurry him. Ain't gonna hurry him either.
Amen.
You know how you be cussing and fussing when you want. Come on.
Yeah.
Tell the truth, shame the devil.
Amen.
You may even say some things you can't say while you're sitting here today.
Amen.
I see some of y'all shaking your head like, Lord, I know he right. You should have heard what I said just last night.
Yeah. Watch out.
You know, but I hear people say all the time, I'm mad at God. Mm. And my response is always the same. Big deal. It's okay for you to be honest with God. Right? But you have to understand that God is working his plan from his prerogative.
Yes.
And from his perspective, yes, of eternity. Yes. Not your momentary emergency.
Yes.
Jesus is going to get into the boat when he's ready to get into the boat. Just hold on. You'll reach your destination.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
The beautiful thing is that even if he's not in the boat with you, as long as he's in the vicinity, you'll be fine.
Yes.
Because he can speak peace to you from the storm. Am I right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just hold on. And John's account, as a matter of fact, of this trial includes an interesting detail. It says in verse, chapter 6, verse 21, it says that he wrote that they, the disciples, were willing to receive him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at land, at the land in which they were going anyway.
Amen.
That's interesting, ain't it? Matthew chapter 14, verse 34 says that the crowd, that they crossed over and reached their destination. But John's account said that their arrival was dramatic. It says, as soon as Jesus boarded, they were on land. The disciples thought that the storm that was taking them down, but what it was actually doing was taking them to where they wanted to go. And don't you feel like that sometimes? This storm is taking me down, but you don't see the bigger picture. God's trying to get you someplace.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, a great illustration of that is Romans 8:28. It says, God causes all things to work together for the good.
Yes.
Of those who love God. And those who are called according to his purpose, right? Do you want to reach your destination in your life?
Amen.
The fastest way to get there is to hang in there under your trial. Because if you are faithful, Jesus has the authority to guarantee you that you won't sink under the waves. The best thing that comes from trial was the way it changed the disciples' view of Jesus Christ. They saw him for who he really is. And they worshiped him. So, when you're ready to discover who Jesus is, start worshiping him. Because make worship, when you got to make worship a high priority. When you realize that he rules over all creation, including trials, and that he wields the authority in your life, you won't have any problem worshiping Jesus Christ when you understand that.
Yes.
See, because as fast as the disciples blinked, they went from the middle of a storm, right, in a raging sea, to calm on the other side of the shore.
Amen.
In a blink. They finally figured out that this man who could find them in the dark, walk on water, and instantly calm the storm and propel them to a land without so much as a word, he was no ordinary man. See, nothing will change your perspective of on trials faster than worshiping God in the midst of. Now, this does not mean that the disciples had a life all wired and from there on out and never doubted, or struggled again. I mean, we saw earlier that Mark included the disturbing note that the 12 had not learned what God wanted them to learn from the feeding of the 5,000.
Right.
They had seen him do that. And then in Mark chapter 6, verse 52, it says, "For they considered not the miracles of the loaves."
Mm.
Watch this. It says, "Because of the hardness of their heart."
Mercy.
This was one reason Jesus, sent them to the storm anyway. God has done so many wonderful miracles for you in your life.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about big things. Little. He's done some wonderful small miracles in your life. And in the life of this church.
Amen.
I mean, he's sustained. Who do you think is sustaining this place?
Amen.
A miracle.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
That's you hear me, Melinda? That's a miracle.
Amen.
Less than 10% of the people tithing. Listen to me. That's a miracle.
Amen.
This church don't want for anything.
Amen.
I mean, glory to God.
Amen.
There's nothing that we desire that God hasn't provided for us.
Amen.
Mm, see, out there on the sea, in the wee hours of the morning, the disciples forgot what Jesus had done the day before. So when they came, when he came to bail them out of the storm, they were amazed that he could do something so miraculous. And we also tend to forget what God did for us yesterday,
Amen.
Last week, last year. Well, worship helps to refresh our emotions as we regularly praise God for who he is and what he's done, and to look to him for what he's going to do for us in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen?
We serve an awesome God.
Yes,
got a question for you as I close. You ever hear of a jet stream? Okay, jet streams are currents. They were discovered after some airplanes began arriving at their destinations far ahead of schedule. And scientists began to study this phenomenon after pilots discovered the jet streams, which propels the plane forward at a faster rate than the plane is flying in the same direction as the prevailing winds. Right? When you're in a trial,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You need to learn how to use Jesus' strength.
Come on now.
You need to catch the Jesus strength.
Yes.
When you catch the Jesus strength, he will propel you along to your destination faster than you could ever get there on your own.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
But you have to be going in the same direction.
That's right.
Well, look out now.
Amen.
You got to be going in the same direction as Jesus to ride on his jet stream.
Yes.
All the power, all the joy, all the authority you need for any trial is in that stream, saints.
Yes.
So I'm encouraging you this morning. Get moving with Jesus.
Yes.
By keeping your focus on him.
Yes.
And he will carry you to your intended destination. Come on and give God some praise, somebody. Come on and praise God, saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ is the authority over our trials.
Amen.